Bethel, Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-WMFO is our new telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. If you prefer numbers to letters, that is 855-915-9636. Those are the numbers you dial to be a part of the show. 855-915-9636. Or find us on the internet, facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo. facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo. Coming up later tonight, the Summer of Blood continues. That's what I'm calling it now, Lisa. It is the it is the Summer of Blood, and we'll take a look at what happened in Nice. That is Nice, by the way, not nice. Everybody who's walking around calling it the Nice attack. No, you're wrong.
No, it's not nice at all.
Nothing nice about
you,
that.
You know what's crazy, Derek? For the past few years that we've been doing this show, I feel like in the summer, we have nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
What is going on this year?
Yeah, the Summer of Blood rolls around.
Yeah, we usually have these like really nice fluff pieces that we do.
And guess, yeah, and I got Pink Floyd queued up on the iPod again. And every time I got to drag that song out, man, I'm like, please let this be the last time that I have to play this. But yeah, we're playing it again.
So you
tonight.
Thought Pokemon Go is going to be a relief from all this tragedy? No,
that's the one. Somebody made the point to me the other day that in the middle of the Summer of Blood, that's the one good thing that's
one
happening.
One thing of happiness. Yeah.
Yeah. And
has your wife divorced you yet over the game?
No, she's actually been working nights.
I saw you together over the weekend, so that's good.
She's actually been working nights this week, which is great because I can get out of work and then go play Pokemon Go for a couple hours. And then
without
go home.
Her even
and
knowing.
She doesn't even know. Mm-hmm. The cat's angry because he's not getting fed until 9 o'clock at night.
Now, are you like everybody else that are just roaming the streets? And
there is actually, I've taken to calling it Pokemon Park. There is a little park about a quarter of a mile from my house that has three Pokestops in it.
So you, amongst children,
can I tell you
playground
something? It ain't children.
At night.
It ain't just children. It is not just children.
Ugh.
Like half the town is down there because people are hanging Pokemon lures on the Pokestops. So you can just sit there and like harvest Pokemon all night long. And there's like every night I go down there, there's like 30 to 40 people.
Yeah, my
hanging
brain
out in this
just
park.
Twitched. I don't know what that means.
It's people are going out in public and
no,
enjoying
and absolutely
a park.
It's great, the whole concept to get kids out.
Yeah.
Little do you know, it's everybody.
Nice little park. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but
we don't need any angry listeners.
Can
finding
I tell you something?
Your house.
If you drive around Wakefield, you're going to find it. It's yeah. not that difficult to find.
And you'll see Derek creeping in the park.
I'm not creeping in the park. I'm catching Pokemans.
It's fine, folks. Do not call the cops.
I have
on
to,
my co-host.
No, believe me, I'm not the only person my age hanging out in the park. There's plenty
okay.
of there's people of all
you.
Ages hanging around the park.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop. Just stop. I don't need this. Anyway, yeah, we need our new news theme song.
No, not again. You're not doing this to me. I thought I banned that last week.
The very best, like no one ever was.
And you think this is funny?
I want to know why you. I want to know why you don't want to be the very best.
Ugh.
We'll get to the news in a second.
Can we have some listeners call up and vote back in our old song that led us into the news?
No, it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. We can't veto this.
And I expect you to bring in a Pokemon news story every week. That's the new requirement if you want to be a co-host.
You will see later in the show. There could be something that I have.
All right. So what do we got for the news?
All right. Well, today in local news, we learned Massachusetts Attorney General takes a shot at gun owners. Massachusetts Attorney General Mara Healey said Wednesday she was cracking down on the sale of guns that she said were designed to skirt the state law banning assault weapons. Healey said that she put gun makers and sellers on notice that they were not allowed to sell guns, which she said were intentionally designed to circumvent by banning and incorporating, quote, small tweaks that had nothing to do to limit the deadliness of the weapon. The attorney general said in a morning news conference that the law remained the same, but her office would change the way it enforced it. While manufacturers have deemed certain weapons in compliance with state law, she said her office had looked at the issue and concluded that they weren't. She said her office also began looking at the law in the wake of the deadly Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, where the gunman killed 49 people. Hilly said in the recent killings of police in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in Dallas, Texas, along with the fatal shootings of black men at the hands of police, have only added to the urgency. She describes her actions as a step forward to reducing gun violence. Now, if you looked at the Boston Globe 2 days ago, Hilly also had an op-ed piece. There were a few things, and a lot resonated with what we talk on the show, and that I did agree with. You know my stance on guns. And
everybody should have all the guns they want.
Listen to the show.
Lisa supports a fully armed population. The more guns you have, the safer we all are. Cuckoo.
Exactly. But, you know, one of the things that she did say were the underlying issues of what's happening with these tragedies. Fear, you know, racism, mistrust. Hey, these are all issues that we've talked about. We had a huge segment on the show last week when we were talking about the fear of white cops against black men. And it's reality, and it's a reality that a lot of people aren't talking about. And she came out and actually spoke of it and said, all of this can't change right now, but the one thing that we can change is this, banning these assault weapons.
First of all, be aware that there are a lot of angry people buying assault weapons in Woburn right now at a gun shop in light of this.
No, look at... You might
want to give them a wide berth. Second, these weapons are banned in Massachusetts already. So what these companies have done is they'll go out and they'll make a gun that does all the same things that the banned weapon does, but they change the design of the stock a little bit, or they change the design of the trigger guard, and then they slap the words Massachusetts compliant on it and try and sell it in this state.
No,
she's not doing anything that we haven't already done. These weapons were already banned for sale in Massachusetts.
But not exactly, because there were some... So you can have an assault rifle. I shoot an AR-15. And something that was previously not banned, it was legal in the state of Massachusetts. Prior to the ban, you can only have 10 magazine rounds in it. You go to the driving range or shooting range, that's all you can do. Now you're in compliance. I understand what she's saying, where companies are going around and, as she says, skirting the compliance with the law.
But that's exactly what they're doing.
But that's what it is. It's a loophole.
This isn't, it's not a loophole. It is companies willfully violating Massachusetts law. Oh, they won't let me sell this in blue? I'll sell it in black. Now it's legal.
But Derek, there's a demand for it.
Whether or not there's a demand for it, our government made a decision to ban these weapons in this state. Okay? I don't think the average person living east of 495 or east of the Connecticut River really has a lot of need for assault weapons.
No, and you, just like many people, have that opinion. I disagree with it. I should be able to, I don't walk around with an AR-15 all the time, but I enjoy shooting it. I should be able to go to the shooting range out in Harvard and shoot it.
I have no problem with that. Keep it at the shooting range and we're all good. We're talking about people in urban areas keeping assault rifles in their homes.
But Derek, what is the percentage of those in urban areas that are illegal? Not maintained, do not have a license.
That we don't know, because...
I'm going to say it's very high.
Well, no, you need a license to buy the weapon in this state.
Yeah, but half of them are purchased on the black market.
Where's this black market for guns in Massachusetts?
In the inner city? Are you kidding?
Those are handguns. Believe me, there aren't a lot of assault weapons trading hands around the city of Boston. There are not.
I highly doubt
there
that.
There are not. Look at every gun buyback program that we have. Look at everything that gets confiscated.
Yeah, because nobody's turning in their assault rifles. They're turning in their handguns for a Walmart gift card.
Look at everything that gets confiscated whenever there's a drug raid or whenever there's a significant bust.
A good percentage of them are high-capacity magazines and assault rifles. Look at the last bust they had up in Lawrence. How many guns did they have? Not just handguns.
Those guys were...
They had everything. Rifles, shotguns.
Those guys were an outlier. Look back across the history of gun busts in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
I would love to pull up that information for you right now.
I'm not
I'm going to disagree.
I'm not interested in the one. I'm interested in what's actually going on in this state. And those guys in Lawrence were probably pulling stuff down from New Hampshire, which is very easy to do up there. You only have to go through one reasonable community before you get to Lawrence, where the laws just don't exist.
But let's look at the gun violence here in Massachusetts. Where are the majority of the guns coming from? Handguns.
Most of the handguns in Massachusetts make their way up here from the South. They come from,
but I'm solely talking North Carolina,
South Carolina, Georgia. They move through Philadelphia, and then they come up to Massachusetts.
Which I don't disagree with. I'm saying here in Massachusetts, gun violence, people shot every day. Yeah. What are they being shot with?
Handguns.
Exactly. There's a problem.
I'm not arguing that that's a problem, but the solution to that problem is not letting everybody in Boston walk around with an assault rifle.
And who is? Please tell me. Do you see people walking around with them? No, because the majority of people that have them, and everybody that I know that has them, locks them up and keeps them safe, and it has a right to own them.
I would say the fewer assault weapons you have in an urban environment, the less opportunity you have for mischief. People can have all the handguns they want, okay? Load up on them. Keep drawers full of handguns. Keep them in your nightstand. Keep in your refrigerator, in your freezer. Keep them in the beer fridge, in the garage. I don't care. You can have all the handguns you want.
But essentially,
what a handgun does,
a shotgun, and a rifle does is the same exact thing. It shoots a bullet.
That's not entirely true. And you're being disingenuous to even say that.
But you're making it seem like everybody's walking around with assault rifles, and they're not.
I'm not.
I'm taking from personal experience and everybody that I know that does have them. And you know me, that I'm not this crazed everybody as you think I am, that everybody should have a gun and, you know, I'm from the South. I'm not. I'm thinking realistically.
You are.
And I do agree with you, and I believe that every state should have as strict gun laws as they do here in Massachusetts. We should be at the minimum of what every state should have.
You are Lisa the Wacky Gun Nut Lady.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, you're Lisa the Wacky Gun Nut Lady. Look, I didn't say everybody was walking around with assault rifles. I said there are fewer assault rifles in the city than there are in other cities around the country. Okay? You go down to Tennessee, you go to California, you go to Texas, you'll find cities with a real problem with assault weapons. Okay?
I absolutely agree. I mean, look at the days following what happened in Orlando at the Pulse nightclub, where you had the same exact gun that shot all those people were purchased by civilians.
Yeah.
I want to say certain store sales went up 800%. That I have a problem with.
Well, they're loading up on them in Woburn right now.
Because also in these states, you can have 200 rounds, which we've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
At that amount, I disagree with. There's no need for that. Am I happy with the 10 rounds? That's fine.
You know my take on it. I think the amount of ammunition that people are going to have should be limited. In the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Mara Healey is simply enforcing existing law. This is not anything new. No one has banned any guns. Mara Healey isn't stepping outside of her role. Mara Healey basically came out and said, look, these companies are deliberately circumventing the law to make money here. Selling things that we have banned. We're going to extend that ban to cover these knockoffs. And that's exactly what they are. They're cosmetic knockoffs of banned weapons that have been stamped Massachusetts legal so that they can sell an illegal weapon in the state.
So where do we go from here? Are you going to have the Attorney General's office going to be putting more pressure on these companies?
I would like to see.
Are they going to be under more scrutiny?
Yeah, well, I mean, what we should be doing
is. Are we looking. Because it starts essentially at the manufacturers, because people aren't going to get them in their hands if they're not being made.
What you do is you file suit against the manufacturers, which we can't do because it would cost a fortune because they're all lawyered up over there. But what you do is you file suit against the manufacturers, you prove that they deliberately circumvented the law. And then you fine them $1 million for every illegal gun that they sold in this state. That's how you would do it in a perfect world. In the world that we live in, as I said, we can't afford that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Any gun manufacturer would bankrupt any state that tried to sue them.
Oh, absolutely.
With the possible exceptions of New York, California, and Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only three states.
Look, how many people are bought in Washington by, whether it be the NRA or some sort of.
And let me tell you, Texas and California are never going to sue the gun industry.
Same thing with Florida.
Florida couldn't afford to do it. New York, Maybe you could get the southern tip of New York.
That's all that really matters.
Oh, because everybody north of there owns guns.
Yeah. You know, it's the same thing with Vermont. Yeah.
That's farm and bootlegging country up there, and they love their guns. And in parts of that state, you need a gun. So it's, you know, it's a complex issue. But everybody who's freaking out about the new gun ban, there's no new gun ban.
No, and absolutely. No, this nothing's going to change because it was already on the books.
This stuff was already banned. Mm-hmm. So get actual information. You'll be better informed, happier, more handsome, and more charming.
Is that how it works?
In that order. In national news, the first case of mosquito-transmitted Zika virus in the United States may have occurred. Health officials in Miami-Dade County in Florida announced that they are investigating a Zika case in an individual who had not traveled to an area where Zika is found, suggesting that the virus had been transmitted through a mosquito bite. This would be the first outbreak of Zika in the continental United States, something health officials expected, as the Aedes aegypti mosquitoes that carry the virus are common in states along the Gulf Coast. No final word on this yet. This follows up what happened in Utah earlier this week, where someone who is a caregiver for an elderly person who died of Zika also came down with Zika, which has led the CDC to speculate that Zika can be spread in addition to mosquito bites and sexual contact through contact with bodily fluids.
Mm-hmm.
That would make this a fairly virulent disease.
No,
that moves this into a whole new category of transmissibility.
Mm-hmm.
Most bloodborne illnesses, you need like close
some
immediate
sort of contact.
Yeah, people use HIV more or less rightfully, or hepatitis C is another good example.
If you have a cut, blood,
if you have casual contact with somebody's bodily fluids and they have HIV or hepatitis C, you're in a caregiver role or even sexual contact in some cases, doesn't mean you're going to get it. Zika seems to be a little bit more virulent than that, and that is bad news.
Not to the extreme of what we were dealing with Ebola, but it's the same thing. You are infected, you go on a plane, you cough on the seat, the next person comes on, and it wasn't cleaned properly, then you have contact with
This would actually be more virulent than Ebola, because with Ebola, you needed sustained direct contact with bodily fluids. Mosquitoes did not transmit Ebola.
It's so interesting because when we first started talking about this on the show and we were saying how it is in South America, we will be seeing it moving more into the United States through Central America, and we wouldn't be surprised. What's happening now? We're seeing it in Florida. We're seeing it in Texas, Louisiana, Alabama. The possibilities, it's frightening. And the fact that we still have Washington contemplating how much money that we should be giving for the resistance of it is mind-blowing.
Well,
I mean, is Washington finally waking up and saying, okay, now we have somebody in Florida that actually, you know, is infected, that didn't travel to Brazil, that didn't travel to another South American country?
No, because a quarter of Washington is in Cleveland for the clown show. Another quarter of Washington is heading to Philadelphia for the clown show. And the other half is just on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So, no one is paying any attention.
No, of course, because it doesn't matter to anybody until we have multiple infections. And I'm not talking about 3, 4, 5 thousands of people infected. And we now start having babies that are born with extremely large heads, Zika babies. And it costs, what, about $1.5 million to carry a baby to term that is infected with Zika?
This is the time of year when you might accidentally catch your Senator Elizabeth Warren. You're not going to see Markey because he never comes back here. You might catch Senator Elizabeth Warren or one of your congressional representatives wandering around town. You might just find them in the wild. If you do, I would recommend going up to them and asking, what concrete steps have we taken to stop the spread of Zika? And the only answer they can give you that is an honest answer is none.
Mm-hmm.
We have known about this since winter. We know when mosquito season is. We know what it's like down in the South. What's been done? Nothing. There was a lot of arguing and some money was allocated. Nothing has been done. And the CDC...
What, a couple $100,000? Yeah, that's going to do much.
Apparently the CDC said...
It's going to buy what? How many thousand cans of off?
Yeah, the CDC, CDC sent $2 million to Florida, I think, to help deal with Zika.
Bug repellent for everybody. No, you know what? I have somebody from my work that is traveling to Brazil today. One male, one female. What?
Why?
And I'm like, be careful, I guess. She's like, no, I have all my vaccines. Yeah, none of them protect you from Zika. We're talking about a mosquito-borne illness that you just step outside and look at the weather patterns that we've been having as of lately. Exceptionally high, extreme weather. You know who loves that? Mosquitoes.
Yeah. Apparently, pink eye is one of the symptoms of Zika.
No.
which is interesting, because if you're in Brazil, you're going to get pink eye and you're going to have no idea. Is it Zika?
Is it
just the water from Pooh Bay? I don't know what it is. Yeah. So keep an eye on that one, kids. Be glad we live in the north. If you are one of our northern listeners, where there is a much, much lower chance of Aedes aegypti or other Zika-carrying mosquitoes being around. If you're down on the Gulf Coast, yeah.
No, it's
sorry.
Especially scary for somebody like my age. If you are planning to travel, I'm a young woman, plan maybe on having family. It's a lot to think about. Look at what we have with athletes not going to the Olympics that they train their whole life for because of this. This is serious. We need to wake up and realize what's going on.
As near as we can tell, it's only an issue in fetal development if you get infected while you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get infected and then you don't get pregnant for 6 months, you're fine. If you've had a baby and then you get infected, you're fine. It's only while the baby is actually gestating inside of your body
that
you really need to worry.
We're also seeing
this is what we believe, by the way.
Evolving.
That's not fact.
So for before that we thought it was just mosquito bites, then it was sexually transmitted.
Yeah.
Then there's a possibility that it could be with bodily fluids.
But there's nothing at this point in time to suggest that it survives in the human body for more than 6 months after infection, which means there's a window there. You know, and the guidance coming out of the government is if you go to an area where there's Zika, try not to get pregnant for 2 years, which may be more than that's being on the safe side.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think, and again, this is not a fact, we don't know this, but they think it's only an issue while you're pregnant and for 6 months after infection, that's when you don't want to get pregnant. So I don't think you're getting pregnant soon, are you?
No.
Is that a plan of yours? Because
no.
I can help.
It is not.
I can help. Just offer. In world news, more than 50,000 people have lost their jobs and more than 9,400 have been arrested as Turkish President Recep Erdogan continues to crack down on people linked to last Friday's attempted military coup. The Turkish military command has been reduced by one-third, and nearly 9,000 police and intelligence personnel have been suspended from their jobs. Formal charges were issued today against 99 generals and admirals involved in the coup, and President Erdogan has said publicly that he is willing to consider the death penalty for coup plotters, even though that move would likely prevent Turkey from joining the European Union. Late this afternoon, Erdogan declared a six-month state of emergency.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically shut down all of the schools in Turkey. They have fired, among this 50,000 is pretty much all of their professors, all of their teachers, a number of civil servants. They are recalling any of their teachers and professors who happen to be overseas. We'll see who actually goes back. I have a feeling if I'm a Turkish professor and I'm outside of the country, I don't think I'm going back
there. I'm good. I'm staying where I am. You know, this country, it's been struggling to deal with this large influx of migrants, refugees coming in hundreds of thousands back into the country. You know, and Turkey itself is really having this almost identity crisis. You have Erdogan, who has been in power for over a decade, clearly wants more power. We saw in the last, November when the referendum happened?
Yeah.
You know, and not everybody agrees with it. Military, what we saw with the coup that happened on Saturday, it's a problem. And it began with what, 50 or so people in the military? Now we're talking about tens of thousands of people. Military high-ranking officials, officers, judges are being removed and arrested.
Anyone, this is one of the interesting aspects of this, because this came out of nowhere. And I will remind our listeners that the United States has forward military bases in Turkey. That Turkey is one of our allies. That Turkey is part of NATO. That Turkey sits on the European border. Somehow, somebody, with all of the intelligence services that we have, and all the intelligence services that Europe has, and actual personnel on the ground talking to senior military in that country, a group of people managed to get organized enough to pull off a military coup and damn near shot down Erdogan's plane on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
That's appalling. That is completely appalling for a NATO ally, for someone who is allegedly part of the club, part of the big information sharing club, to be on the verge of a civil war like this, and nobody knew this was coming?
No, to get the news and have no idea.
It's appalling.
We were talking about it when it first happened and said, I didn't even see this coming.
Nobody saw this coming. The Pentagon didn't see this coming.
Is there... They're always like a mystery, and they run this fine line. Yes, they are our ally, but there's been so many situations, and especially in the past year, where Erdogan has, let's talk about how they're buying ISIS oil, and they were shipping basically meandering its way through Syria into the country. Oh no, but we're not doing anything. Everything's fine. Look away. So I believe there's really this disconnect with the information that the military's given, because I think half the military was bought anyways by upper officials to kind of turn a blind eye to many of the ISIS actions.
Hey, it's a good question. Erdogan is our ally when it is in his best interests. And there is a long history of Turkey being a weak link in NATO and Turkey not wanting to get involved. You will recall that as soon as Turkey said, we're going to participate in the ISIS bombing campaign, they went over and started blowing up the Kurds, mm-hmm. who had nothing to do with ISIS. So Erdogan sees an opportunity to go shoot up some Kurds. Oh, I got to drop a couple bombs on ISIS. Yeah, we'll do that too.
No, it's the same thing. There's been, it's fact that there are multiple former Al-Qaeda high-ranking officials that have asylum in Turkey.
Yeah.
So it's this country that, is kind of playing both sides.
But the interesting thing about this is one of those people arrested was the equivalent of the Secretary of the Army and the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the most senior military officials in the country was involved in this plot. And these 99 generals and admirals that have been picked up also involved in this plot. These people are talking to each other. This doesn't just happen. They had helicopters rolling out. They had jets rolling out. They had tanks rolling out. They had people in the streets. And if Erdogan hadn't managed to get on the air,
he's almost dead,
and tell everyone to go out and confront the military, they probably would have won.
Now, some people that are familiar with the story or have heard about it, maybe also have heard a name, Fethullah Gulen. And this is the man that, it's almost like a Trotsky to Stalin. He's like a scapegoat. He is right now living in the Poconos. He's, exiled himself to Pennsylvania.
Because who doesn't want to live in the Poconos?
Right. And the big question is, was he the mastermind? I don't think so much. Was there maybe some sort of communication with the military and Gulen? It's still a mystery. We don't know.
The phrase that's being bandied around is inspired by, and maybe they were inspired by this guy, but I doubt that he has any direct, because there's no way that a Turkish expat living in the Poconos is going to be able to communicate with Turkey clandestinely.
Yeah, he's been pretty secretive for the past couple years.
In the age of ISIS. You better believe that Homeland Security monitors everything that comes and goes from that guy's IP
address.
Now,
Erdogan has requested his being brought back to the country.
Not going
to
happen.
Being extradited.
Not going to happen.
Of course not.
Because the United States is not going to send this guy over there to let Erdogan execute him. The interesting question here is whether or not Erdogan goes forward with the death penalty, at least for these generals and admirals. That would be the end of any hope of getting into the EU. You cannot use the death penalty and be part of the European Union. So if he holds back, that is sort of a victory for the concept of the European Union and the carrot and the stick approach toward making the world a more peaceful place, which is allegedly what the European Union is about.
I mean, not that the European Union, though, needed another reason. We talked about it before in Turkey being admitted into the European Union. And as I said, so many migrants, so many refugees going back into the country. We had the latest attacks that were happening in the markets in the street in Turkey. The EU wants nothing to do with it. Then you bring in this, forget it.
The flip side of it is, if you're Erdogan, what else do you do with these people? If you put them in jail, they become Nelson Mandelas.
Mm-hmm.
And they're communicating with the outside world, and all of their followers are agitating to get them released. And when they eventually get released, they take over the country. That's what happens when you put them in jail. If you exile them, same thing. Only they have a much easier time communicating with everyone and recruiting followers. Instead of one guy in the Poconos, now you got 100 guys spread out all over the place. Mm-hmm. The only viable solution, if you are Recep Erdogan, is to execute a lot of people very publicly to make it clear that if you go against the government, you are going to be hung in the public square.
It's the only way you're going to do it.
That's the only way that anything short of that. And he's setting himself up for trouble down the road.
Like I said before, though, you're not getting into the EU, so you might as well just go for it.
But they might, because keep in mind, the deal that he made with Merkel, we'll take your refugees, you let us into the EU.
Mm-hmm.
He won that. And
well, there's
Turkey,
a lot of money involved as well.
Turkey is closer than they've ever been. Now, massive political instability is going to be an obstacle toward joining the European Union as well, because you don't want to let these guys in and then a civil war tears the country apart and suddenly ISIS is running Turkey, which is a very real possibility. So the next few days should be very illuminating. This is one to keep an eye on. This is WMFO Medford.
Well, today in sports news, we learned CTE is not only affecting football players. More than 50 former wrestlers filed for a class action lawsuit against the World Wrestling Entertainment on Monday. The complaint alleges that former wrestlers suffered from long-term brain damage and the development of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, known as CTE, the Alzheimer's-like neurodegenerative disease associated with repeated hits to the head. According to the suit, quote, the head trauma that has resulted in the injury that is accumulated effect of many of the impact of the plaintiff's heads that occurred on a regular routine basis during their WWE career. The complaint goes on to say that the WWE also failed to provide care for the wrestlers for their injuries that were occurred, and that the WWE placed corporate gain on the wrestlers' health, safety, and financial security, choosing to leave the plaintiffs severely injured with no recourse to treat their bodies. Among suing the WWE are Hall of Famers Mr. Wonderful and Road Warrior Animal Joseph Laurinaitis. Former Hall of Famer Jimmy Superfly Snuka has been listed as a plaintiff as well. Snuka was ruled mentally incompetent to stand trial on a murder and manslaughter charges in the death of his girlfriend in 1983. Defense attorneys argued that the client suffered from dementia and that he suffered from concussions during his career. Not a good look for the WWE.
I don't know that people like Jimmy Superfly Snuka and some of these other old-time wrestlers are going to have much luck prosecuting this case, because at the time that they were wrestling, nobody knew. And you want to talk about guys from the last 10 or 15 years, then you have a case. The argument that they have to make is that Vince McMahon, who owns World Wrestling Entertainment, was aware that there was a concussion risk, was aware of chronic traumatic encephalopathy. CTE didn't even exist, until about 15 years ago. And it's actually a little bit more recent than that.
No, and I mean, look at every year. We're getting more and more information on it as more research is put into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked on the show about how in so many sports, especially starting just as children, whether we're talking about Pop Warner football or kids playing soccer. Constant trauma to the head will cause that. That's fact.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we know. People are dying at very, very young ages. Careers are ending.
But these are guys, keep in mind, who are performing without a helmet, who were hitting each other in the head, who were getting body slammed in the head, who are having their heads pile driven into the ring, who are hitting each other over the head with trays and chairs and
ladders,
snakes and anything else. So there are a lot of opportunities to get a concussion as a professional wrestler.
No, and it's interesting to think too, because most of it is scripted. It's fake. It is entertainment. And, you know, we're talking about with professional sports, and so much that we focused on CTE is in that realm. But now we're also talking about entertainment and the money that's involved in that, because many of these people make lots of money.
That's still a live head being hit with a real chair,
though. Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, it's like a, you know, stunt driver or a stunt actor. Like, you're taught to properly do things to limit the amount of injury that you're going to get.
But you're still taking a shot to the head.
Of course. You're still slamming on the mat, but you're doing it in a proper way that's not going to cause serious injuries. You're not going to break your spine or slip a disc. Does it still happen? Yes, absolutely. But as you just said, these things are real when you're being hit constantly in the head. And you know, to get a concussion, sometimes it doesn't even take that hard of a hit.
Yeah.
You can just fall down. And it's where you're hit. It's depending on the person.
There are a lot of things that contribute to it. But as I said, you know, if you're one of these old-time wrestlers, like pre-2005, I think is probably a good cutoff on this, you're going to have a tough time making a case because nobody knew. That's when the NFL first started dealing with this issue. And it wasn't like there was this massive body of research that you can prosecute and say, well, Vince McMahon should have reasonably known that wrestling was going to cause head injuries and dementia. No. But what they can do by bringing this case is shine a light on the fact that Vince McMahon, and this is part of the case, because he treated all of his wrestlers as contractors, not as employees, none of them get any benefits. And the fans and the public at large, I think, would look at some of these guys and say, you know what, Vince McMahon, you're making $1 billion a year off of this thing. The WWE makes a few billion dollars a year. Set aside some money to take care of the old wrestlers, will you? Because it's a bad look.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, the lawsuit may serve a purpose and may actually win some benefit. But I don't see that these guys prevail.
It's just so naive to me to believe, understanding what we've known just in the past 15 years, and I agree with you, it's going to be a very difficult case to prove for all these people, because we're talking, you know, back in the 70s or 80s. In the past 15 years, nobody stopped and thought, hey, all of this, what we're doing, it's bad for you.
Yeah.
But again, you get these multi-million dollar contracts, just as many of these very young football players. And this is what happens in the WWE. You have people that start out, you know, it's a little bit different now compared to what it was when I grew up. And in my family was very much into wrestling. It was these, you know, more old-time superstars, where now it's, you know, the most beautiful women that happen to lift and are good at wrestling, or can be trained to do it. So it's a little bit different. It's more Hollywood, should I say?
Well, a lot of the people back in the day were just bodybuilding jamokes. You know, that you could throw a few $100 at them and they'd go roll around in a ring with each other. And you put a costume on it. And,
it's true.
You know, but then The Rock happens. And then Steve Austin happens. And Hulk Hogan comes into wrestling.
And what happens is the monies.
Yeah.
Because not do you have only a Hulk Hogan, you know, and Jake the Snake, like those big names, you now have everybody as character. Everybody has fan following.
Hulk Hogan.
Whether you are, you know, a good guy or a villain.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan was a model before he was a wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it was
Randy Savage, same thing.
Yeah, it got into this thing where it's like, find these really beautiful, jacked people and throw them in a ring together and give them a story. And, you know, now there's an entire World Wrestling Entertainment career path where you can be a blockbuster superstar and make millions in the movies starting out in wrestling. And that's what's attracting a lot of people to it.
Mm-hmm.
there is also a tremendous amount of physical risk associated with it. And unlike the NFL, you're not getting a guaranteed paycheck. You're not getting any kind of benefits. There is no pension plan.
Yeah, think about when you get hurt. You're done.
There is no medical coverage. Unless Vince decides to pay for something out of the kindness of his heart.
Which, so I think that's black heart.
Yeah. Well, I think he's a practical businessman who has his eye on the cost side of things. But
the bottom line.
Everybody who's come out of World Wrestling Entertainment has had bad things to say about how they were treated by the organization after they left.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of, you made your money from me, goodbye. And they just get cast aside, and good luck getting anything out of Vince at that point. That's something that should change.
In entertainment news, we learned Fox News may soon have a new face of the station. Roger Ailes' tenure at the head of Fox News appears to be over. Ailes and 21st Century Fox, Fox News' parent company, are in the advanced stages of discussions that would lead to his departure as chairman. Susan Essrich, one of Ailes' lawyers, said in an interview on Tuesday. The development follows a sexual harassment suit filed on July 6th against Ailes by a former anchor, Gretchen Carlson. The suit prompted 21st Century Fox to conduct an internal review that set off an intense round of speculation in the news media and television industry about Ailes' future at Fox News. In the days that followed Carlson going public, over a dozen women came forward with similar experiences with Ailes, revealing a pattern demanding sexual favors in exchange for professional advancement and putting a stop to the careers of women who did not oblige, dating as far back as 1960s. Ailes' outside counsel issued a statement in response to the new allegations. Quote, it has become obvious that Mrs. Carlson and her lawyers are desperately attempting to litigate this in the press because they have no legal case to argue. The latest allegations, all 30 to 50 years old, are false. Now, unfortunately, with these allegations being old, that has no bearing on whether they're true or not.
Carlson wasn't what did in Roger Ailes. What did in Roger Ailes was two things. Number one, Murdoch's kids don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
Because
when we first heard about Carlson, we said, what's going to happen? It's going to be hush-hush, put under the carpet, and she's going to get a beautiful settlement, and she will be going to a new network.
But here's the thing. The relationship between Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes has always been, Roger, it's yours, do whatever the heck you want.
Mm-hmm.
And Roger is really unaccountable to anybody. So Murdoch's kids come in and they want to try and change something. Ailes throws them out of his office. And he's like, go talk to daddy because you don't have any influence here.
You know, and he's very old school news from what I understand of him.
They've been trying to get him out of there. They like nothing more than to get him out of there. What sunk him, in addition to that, is they hired an outside law firm to investigate these allegations. And Megyn Kelly apparently came forward and said, yeah, he harassed me too. And when Megyn corroborated, that was enough. And they were like, okay, get him out of here.
No, but I hate that, you know, you have from Ailes' camp saying, oh, well, they're so old, it's false. But like I said, you know, just because they're old doesn't mean it's false. There are plenty of well-documented victims of sexual misconduct that stay silent. And it so happens when one person comes forward, it's almost like a beaming light, that maybe you feel comfortable to go forward. And it's been also proven, though, when people go through all of this mess publicly and announce it, they get more put against them than any sort of justice in the end.
Yeah, but Roger Ailes also belongs to a generation where if you were good enough at your job, it didn't matter what you did off the job.
Of course.
So that kind of behavior from him was tolerated throughout his entire career and allowed to go on. People in Fox Day, people knew what was happening.
I picture, you know, Mad Men style where it's, you know, the secretary walks around and the CEO slaps her on the butt.
Oh, it's worse.
That sort of thing.
It's worse than that. Roger's like dropping trial in meetings in his office.
Well,
you know.
He's like, a little vicious.
Yeah. So, you know, this is going.
But it's reality. This sort of thing happens.
Yeah.
And people that are in this power, and I've seen it before, where they feel like they have sort of some extra power over them, not just in the office.
Well, they do.
But Yes, meaning you need to fall to my demands because I'm in this position, because I have complete control over your career. And for a young, say, anchor that's going into and starting at Fox News, and you have this and understanding your career path, having the threat of being blacklisted from every single news outlet.
It's called the television industry, and it goes like this. Would you like $7 million a year, or would you like to go tell someone that I showed you my penis?
It's true. Yeah.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. This is what this
you pick.
This is why Megyn Kelly couldn't say anything on the record, didn't come out and say anything about it, because she's gone.
And look at her career path.
This is the height of Machiavellian politics and Machiavellian behavior, because there is a lot of boardroom stuff going on between Rupert Murdoch, who is on his way out, by the way, and the kids, who are deciding who's going to run what, who's going to take over the family business, who's going to have which pieces of it, how it's going to be handled. So for everybody at the top level of this organization, and that includes Megyn Kelly, that includes Bill O'Reilly, that includes Sean Hannity, that includes Roger Ailes, you got to be real careful about which side you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be real careful about what you say, because if you're not,
you could be gone.
And once you're gone, you're not going to job someplace else.
And there is a good chance that you could completely see Fox News, for the majority of their anchors, wiped out.
Yeah. Hannity, O'Reilly, and Kelly all have clauses in their contract that allow them to leave if Roger Ailes leaves.
Mm-hmm.
O'Reilly is the only one who I think might actually exercise that option, because he has had the top-rated show in cable news for the last decade. Somebody's going to make a pitch.
I could see Hannity going.
I don't think Hannity does.
I think the only person you have staying, honestly, is Kelly.
I don't think Hannity goes anywhere. Because if Bill O'Reilly goes, Hannity now becomes the elder statesman at Fox News.
It's true.
He could ride that out for the rest of his career. Not have to work that hard. You still have to work.
Mm-hmm.
But not have to work quite as hard. He's not in anybody's shadow anymore.
It's kind of like he's gone. I can take the reins.
But Bill O'Reilly is the most marketable talent that they have.
Of course.
If Ailes,
the highest rated.
When Ailes goes, somebody is going to make a pitch for O'Reilly. Could be CNN. Could be MSNBC. Somebody's going to make a pitch for him, because this guy can put 6 million pairs of eyeballs on your network for an hour a night.
Mm-hmm.
Every news network wants that.
No, and if the price is right, he's gone.
In technology news, that was the entertainment story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that wasn't sports. In technology news, Netflix shares stumbled this week as a recent price adjustments drove subscribers away. Netflix had planned to add 2.5 million subscribers in the spring, but came up with just 1.7 million. The company blamed the media for April reports about impending price hikes that drove hundreds of thousands of subscribers to cancel their Netflix service. The company defended the price hikes, noting that it needs capital to invest in original programming that grows its subscriber base. A $2 Netflix hike, and everybody cuts the cord.
Mm-hmm, right.
But the problem that they have is Netflix used to be the only game in town. Now there is Hulu. Now there's Amazon Prime. And a lot of people have signed up for Amazon Prime. So if Netflix comes around and they're like, can we get an extra couple of bucks?
No, and now you're having networks having their own. I mean, look at how popular HBO Go is. What Netflix needs to do is, or they should have done, figured out what would be that zero point where they would still maintain subscribers but still be able to raise the price.
I think they did that.
And they believed. Do you think people were... No, I'm going to say people were too abrupt to cut the cord.
I think they underestimated how cheap millennials are. That's problem number one, because millennials are cheap, filthy, dirty hippies.
It is. Yeah, okay? I'll agree with that.
If you're a millennial who is not a cheap, filthy, dirty hippie, I apologize. Please keep listening to the show and try and convert your friends.
I'm one of those.
Yeah. But I think the mistake made here was they did not consider the competition, because I don't know how often you look at movies across these three services. They all pretty much have the mm-hmm. same stuff. Amazon actually does a little bit better with getting like new movies that Hulu and Netflix don't have. If you want TV, Hulu has way more TV than Netflix does.
No, absolutely. They've had such popularity with things like Orange is the New Black.
Sure.
And House of Cards. But to maintain an audience, where are they going to solely stick to your service? You can't just have one or two shows that maybe a small margin of the population does watch.
Well, they've got...
You need to have a full... blown series of...
They've got more than that. They've got Peaky Blinders.
No.
And Jessica Jones and Daredevil.
With the popularity of what those two were that are only made for Netflix.
I think... But those shows
were... made by Netflix.
Those shows were made by Netflix as well. Peaky Blinders is theirs and, you know...
But I'm just saying the level of popularity that...
Yeah. There was the Bill Murray Christmas thing that did very well for them. They've got a lot of good original
content. Oh, they have great content. Absolutely.
But they've also got competition. And one thing that is true about millennials is that they don't seem to be loyal to too many shows. They can take or leave pretty much anything that's out there. So if Netflix is going to go up to $14 a month or $15 a month, and I'm going to lose House of Cards, well, the $15 a month is worth more to me than that. When Netflix was the only game in town... When,
you had to do it.
When Hulu wasn't really a thing and Amazon Prime didn't exist, you could get away with a price hike. But the last time they tried a price hike, same thing happened. You know, they unbundled the services and everybody revolted. They tried to raise prices and everybody revolted. They walked it back. And then they did it again and they postponed it. And everybody's still revolting. People do not want to pay monies for the streaming content.
No, but the thing with millennials is it's constant gratification. It's, you know, what can you do for me? Not, why should I have to pay that much? That's a mentality of many millennials.
Yeah.
Well, it's going up to that, so they're trying to screw me, so I'm going to go over here. Oh, well, go to the next best thing. It's a constant moving around.
Well, there's...
And as you said, there is no loyalties to a certain brand or a streaming service.
There's free stuff on network television, so why shouldn't there be free stuff on streaming? That's ultimately what you're coming back to. And for Netflix, this is a big problem because their business model is built around subscriber dollars and no advertising. Whereas everybody else, Amazon doesn't advertise directly through Prime, but if you're in Prime, you're getting their emails all the time. You're getting their ads bombarding you every time you go look at something on the internet. So they're getting their advertising dollars off of this, and they're creating advertising opportunities. Hulu, you've got an option. You can either get advertising free at a higher rate, or you can get shows with advertising at a lower rate.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Netflix in all of this? You know, if you cannot ever raise your monthly fees, at a certain point, you hit peak subscribers. So you know what your budget is. And then year over year, you're actually losing money because inflation is rising and you can't raise your rates to keep up with that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big problem. And investors punished Netflix stock over this. But the reason they're punishing the stock is because this now introduces great big questions about what the business model for streaming services looks like. CBS is about to make a big mistake, I think, with their CBS, whatever they're calling it, service. You got to pay to watch Star Trek. Nobody's paying to watch Star Trek. No one is paying to watch Star Trek. Actually, you know what? There's like 1,000 people who are going to pay to watch Star Trek.
I was going to say.
And then
there are a few out there.
And then the next week, there'll be 1,500, and CBS will come out and be like, we have 500% subscriber growth.
There's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather.
Lisa's not liking the weather tonight. It's too cold for her.
I know. What happened to those 90 degrees?
Yeah, well, if you like the 90 degrees, we're going to have plenty of that on the way very, very shortly. In the meantime, enjoy tonight while you can, kids. This is a winter. This is about as good as it gets in summer around here. Temperatures fall down into the mid-60s, upper 50s out in some of the colder parts of the state. Great sleeping night. Very, very low humidity. Tomorrow, low humidity continues under sunny skies. We'll get up into the mid-80s. Temperatures only fall back into the lower 70s tomorrow night. And then on Friday, hazy, hot, humid.
Those three H's that I love.
Highs in the 90s and temperatures in the mid-70s Friday night. So the air conditioner is going to be getting a workout. Saturday, more of the same, high of about 90. Low in the 70s. Saturday night with a 20% chance of rain. Those are those afternoon thunderstorms that we get whenever this hazy, hot, humid stuff rolls in. Sunday, more of the same. High in the mid-80s. Sunny skies, humid. Temperatures falling back into the low 70s on Sunday night. So sleep tonight. You're not going to sleep for the next 4 days, five days.
That's when I love that I have central air.
Yeah. If you're looking for...
I pay for it a lot.
If you're looking for a break, it ain't on the radar screen before next week. So there you go. 617-WRONG-WRONG-WRONG-WRONG. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 815-915-9636. When we come back here on The Big Picture, did you hear all the other things making headlines right here on WMFO Medford?
The next time you're buying bacon, look through that window on the package. I'm Sarah Beck, consumer meat specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. All bacon packages must have a transparent window so you can see a representative slice. And chances are, if you check the window, you can get the kind of bacon you like. Bacon with a high proportion of lean is obviously a better buy. Bacon with the lean distributed as streaks throughout the slice will be more attractive and crisper when cooked.
When you get bumped on a racetrack, the key is to stay in control.
NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace.
Same goes for the highway. That's why professional truck drivers need to buckle up every trip, every time. Your safety belt can keep you in position behind the wheel and in control, looking out for yourself and everybody else. That's what a professional driver does. So be ready, be buckled, and remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gary and I'm Lisa Nichols, here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. And as always, we want you to be a part of the show. The way that you do that is you give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. And of course, it's time for Did You Hear, the part of our show where Derek and I quiz each other on things from the past couple days' news. We give each other maybe like one or two word answers, and we see who is far more superior in the news world.
Or at least who is awake for the last 7 days.
I'm still riding the high from that 6 for 6 the other week. I didn't do too bad last
week.
That's
impressive.
All right, here we go. Honor killing.
Honor killing. Pakistan is taking a step toward eliminating honor killing and actually making it a criminal offense, which would bring them into the 21st century.
Welcome.
And be a major step forward for them.
Why? Just a follow-up question. Why did what sparked this?
A desire to be a part of the 21st century. And I forget the exact...
Yeah, it was a Pakistani social media star that was killed by her brother. She was strangled in her parents' home. Quandil Balak. You know, she was known for her daring pose. As I said, she was killed by her brother over the weekend. But started her career on American Idol. Had, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers. And a lot of this is looked down on and frowned upon, but honor killings are basically when women are murdered for allegedly going against the strict conservative norms in Pakistan. And yeah, there's been a lot of pushback, so they're trying to go against that and make it illegal, as they should,
and possibly join the 21st century, which would be a big improvement over there. Okay, let's see, what have we got? Sunroofs. Yes.
Have they been proven to be cause of cancer?
No.
I would assume that. I don't know what.
I guess you missed
recall?
I guess you missed Charlie Baker's press conference.
Wait.
Earlier today.
No, I read this.
Wherein he revealed that among the findings of the MBTA financial